Good morning. I had previously thought that the chalos at the beginning of the shir was the announcement, so I'm waiting for the announcement. Apparently it is okay to start without the announcement. I call the shir Sukkos when Sosin met Simcha. And in the Agadata, in the fifth parak of Sukkah, there is a fascinating and extremely strange Agadata, which lends itself to numerous interpretations, which I'd like to consider with you this morning. The sugya, the halakhic context of the sugya, that is the nisuch hamayim, the water libation on Sukkos, importantly, which is minhag neviim, it's not something which is mentioned explicitly with sukkim. And the sugya begins, minani mili, it's a daf menches on the base, minani mili. What's the question? What Rashi explains, what are we trying to find out? The Totim Marie and Beshiva Samayim Shal Nisuch, that they make a huge business out of the nisuch hamayim. And they blow the shofar, they make it into a big, it's not just a little water pouring, it'll have a background which may be relevant later. The Nisuch HaMayim was one of the points of contention between the Sadokim and the Purushim, between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. There are certain flashpoints in the towards the end of the Vaisheni era, which were, if you like, really significant disagreements. The Sadokim, who were not convinced of the truth of the Torah Shebaal Peh, for example, celebrated Shavuos always based on a calculation from the first Sunday after Pesach. Mimrochus HaShabos means not Yom Tov, it means the first Shabbos during Pesach. And another example was the order of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And a third example, perhaps most well known, is about the Nisuch HaMayim, about whether it was a valid practice, the extent that towards the end of the Vaisheni era, you see there's a Mishnah which discusses this matter in Sukkah, where the Kohen, in his big ceremony, there's thousands of people there, he goes up on his back with a jug, ready to, what he's supposed to do is in this ceremony, with a great kavanah, pour the water into the appropriate hole on his back. And he said he pours it as a Mishnah all over his feet, which means he pours it on the floor, and as a matter of displeasure, the audience pelted him with their estrogen, which was recorded in the Mishnah. And this was the validity of the Nisuch HaMayim was an ancient point of contention. And you can understand why it's built up in such a big ceremony to validate the position of Chazal. Like the same thing with the Ketzirah Sa'oimah, Magal, the whole business about it. Is this the side? They make a whole fuss about it to make it clear that they are validating the traditional position, which in that time is a position of Purushim. Anyway, with that introduction, quotes a posuk, and the posuk on which the Nisuch HaMayim is based is Ushavtem Mayim B'Sosu. So now the Agadah, Hanotzrei Minim, there were these two. Now Minim, will translate them as apostate. Sometimes Minim means early Christians, but here it seems to mean apostates or possibly Tzedokim. Chachmei Sosu and Chachmei Simcha, one's called Sosu and one's called Simcha. Omni Sosin Simcha, Sosin said to Simcha, Ano Adifa Minoch, I'm better than you, Divsim, you quote the Posuk. Sosin Vasimcho Yasigu. And you see Sosin's first, you say, I'm better than you. I come before you. Omele Simcha, the Sosin to Simcha retaliates. To Sosin, Ono Adifa Minoch, I'm better than you. Divsim, because the Posuk says, Simcho Vasosin La Yehudim. There you go, Simcha comes first. Omele Sosin Simcha. So Sosin says to Simcha, now, Chad Yoma Shavukoch. One day they're going to throw you out. Once she explains, they're going to throw you out of heaven. Whether that means your ideology, or whether it's supposed to be referring to some kind of angelic being, is not really clear. Rashi says it means, Yafkechu min Hashemayim, they're going to remove you. You'll be removed from heaven. V'shavyoch pravanko, and they'll make you a runner. Rashi says, rots. Well, roots the funnel, the kind of runner, somebody goes in front of someone else, a servant who runs in front of me. Dichsim, you quote the Apostle, keep a simcha teitzeu, they'll go out with simcha. Very literalist reading. Omele simcha sosso, and the simcha retaliates, the sosso. Chad yom shav kocha, one day they'll throw you out. Molubach maya, and they'll fill water with you, meaning they'll use you as a jug. How so? Ufshavtem mayim. But sosoin, they'll draw water, not in a state of sosoin, of rejoicing, is how we read the posuk, but actually using sosoin as a way of drawing the water. A very, again, a literalist reading. So that appears to be the end of the first part of the sugya. Here's the next bit. Amaleya hu mina, the Shmei Sosan, a min whose name was Sosan, said to Rebbe Abohu, Asidin to Zamolili Mayim La Alma Da Osi, in the future they are going to fill me with water in the future. As the Pasuk says, Shavti Mana Sosain Omalei, so the boy says to him, Yavakasiva La Sosain, if the Pasuk had said La Sosain, for Sosain, the water would be for you, then you'd be right. Kedamat, Hazadich said, now it says, Bur Sosain, Mashchitahu Gavro, Mashvinin Le Guda, Umalina Be Maya. What it means is, they're going to get hold of that man, that means you, they're going to get hold of that man, and they're going to turn him into a bottle and use it to fill water. And that's the end of the sukkah. There are two parts. The first bit is this peculiar dialogue between Sosan and Simcha, each trying to prove that he's superior to the other. And the second part is Sosan's very brief dialogue with the Rebbe Abahu. Sosan says, babe, they're going to fill water for me in the future. Now, and Abahu says, no, it doesn't work like that. They're going to use you to fill the water. So I would like to look at a couple of approaches to understanding this. Interestingly, the Marshal, which is where one would go first of all, to understand this type of sugya, offers what is not a very rich or developed explanation. He gives a general introduction, Kein derech haminim, lefarish haksuvim al atzmon, lefisich luson v'havolom. This is the way minim, people who have a literalist, simplistic, incorrect understanding of the Torah, and what they do, they say, oh, Sosan, they can't conceptualize anything. They say, oh, look, I'm called Sosan, it must be talking about me. So I'm better than you because I'm first in the Pasuk, and the purpose is to show you how stupid they are. And he goes on to explain that's what they do, rather than offer a conceptual explanation. Which case, according to the Marshal, the purpose of this sugya is to demonstrate that these people are silly, and that their mode of understanding sukkim is simplistic and uninteresting. I don't know, I found that this doesn't really tell me enough about the sugya to feel comfortable and happy with it. So the Orach Haner also has quite a technical explanation in which he says why he starts to get into the argument whether Sosa's got a better argument than Simcha. Maybe Simcha's got a better pshat in the Pasuk. Quite interesting. But for me, the most interesting bit of the Orach Haner is his introduction. What the Orach Haner is doing, Rav Ettlinger, is he's contextualizing the sugya. Where does this appear? It appears in the discussion about Nisuch HaMayim. Nisuch HaMayim was something, as I mentioned in the introduction, which was contested by the Tzadokim. And why would you bother to put this here, this peculiar agadata, appearing a meaningless dialogue between, at the very best, two Jewish apostates and possibly two Goyim? Why would you bother to put this here? And the answer is, it's in the context of understanding that while we use the Pasuk of Shavtim Mayim V'Sosoi for this majestic ritual understanding through the eyes of Chazal and even the Nevi'im, the purpose of the time of the year, what can be achieved with it and what a Kodesh Baruch Hu requires from us, they use it for a stupid, self-focused dialogue. So that's according to Orach Haner, that's the point of it. But we use it, Diyolif Mikro Sha'avte Do Sha'avte Maim Asosim, and they use it for their foolishness. And therefore, Maisi Hocha Hath Maisa, this story is brought here, says the Orach Haner, Lahoyros Heich Alpita Usum Hoylehem Dibri Akosov, the Sokhul Mang Amgos Kolonon. But you can see, because of their foolishness, because of their error in understanding the Pesukim, they end up making the Pesukim into a mockery, and to demonstrate thereby how foolish and incorrect they are. So the purpose of the sugya is really similar to what the Marshal says, really. But it's, at least it's contextualised, and you understand why it's placed here. That in contrast to what we do with the Pasuk, this is what they do with it. So, also interesting. What I found more fascinating was a mimer from the Sukkah Shavuot for the Shem Yishmor, written 99 years ago, Sukkah's Tof Reish Ayin Beis. And he quotes the mimer, and he quotes the Marshal. He says, "V'amashal pirusha v'derech hitul oma min echol lechaver kein." Says that the Marshal says that it's just quoting their stupidity, their, if you like, foolish banter. The Shem Yishmor, it's if I was elsewhere, I would say the following. that by the time you get to the early 20th century, and even earlier by the mid-19th century, it's no longer acceptable to offer a simple explanation, because you have a Jewish world that is challenged by forces who are saying, the Gomorrah is filled with Kafashon, with silly legends, that they read their posuk their way, we read it our way, and there's not much difference. In a post-Haskalah world, a more sophisticated explanation is required to justify the existence of the text and to make it meaningful to a more critical or cynical world. And Mefarshim like the Shem Shmuel, and even those earlier, the mid-19th century Mefarshim, are offering what one might call, as I said, if I were somewhere else, I would say, a more responsive approach to ensure that even someone who was possibly influenced by those winds of change would look at this Gemara and find something meaningful, and not suggest that Chazal Chas V'Shalom were including something which couldn't really be justified. And so Mefarshim of this sort will always try to explain the whole thing. The truth is the Maharal begins that type of approach, where every word, every line means something, conveys some idea, in contrast to the Rambam's approach, which is that if there are general ideas, but not every word necessarily means to mean something. So he says, based on the Mashal, Devorov Einu Mavonim, I don't understand what the Mashal is saying. Kitoro Seinu Hakadosha, and this is really justifying what I said before. Kitoro Seinu Hakadosha, Enenu Mokum Lahati Bo Divri Hitzulim. Our Holy Torah is not a place to record the foolish banter of apostates. It's not good enough just to say it's a discussion, a chat between some apostates. There must be something important, some limud l'maisa, something that the person needs, which can be extracted from a careful and conceptual reading of the text. He quotes, first of all, he quotes his father. Now, so the Avnei Nezer is most well known for being the greatest posuk in Poland at the end of the 19th century. It's interesting, this is written shortly after he died. He died in 1910, which just passed his 150th Yahrzeit. But very often the ideas he quotes are elaborations of the Avnei Nezer's ideas in the Gazeta, which are less well known. So he said, I heard from my father, the Farish, he said, begin as follows. Daha min sova, what is the minna here? A min is not being read, it would seem, as a Sadducee, it's stoking. Being read as the min throughout history, the person who rejects the principles on which the Torah is based. And in this version, the machlokes between us and the min is the purpose of the physical world. Is the purpose of the physical world to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die, i.e. it's an end in itself? Or is the physical world not to be rejected, but to celebrate our simcha, we eat and celebrate, but that's not an end, it's a means. It's a means. So in the Shem Shmuel says in the name of the Avnei Nezer, the Hamin Sover, the world of the min, the intellectual world, the religious approach of the min, Sover ki atachlis la'odom liyos soch v'someach. The min thinks the purpose of life is celebration. The Heshiv lo Rebbe Abol, so what is Rebbe Abol? He starts at the end of the sugya. That discussion between Sosoin and Rebbe Abol. What does Rebbe Abol respond? He says, you know, they're going to fill water for me. I am the Ikka. I am the focus. I am Elosid Lovoi in the ultimate reality. I am the purpose of reality. So Rebbe Abol says, I'm afraid you've got that wrong. He says, Kizer rakat tzarech la'avod of simcha, like every other instrument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with, is l'tzarech avoda, is a means to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'loya tachlis, it's not the end, it's a means. V'zeh shem ramez, and this is really a good chapa, which he bases, Shem Shmuel bases pshat in the sugya. That's what he's saying to him. He said, they're going to fill water for me, I'm the focus. He says, no, they're going to use you to fill the water. You are the means. Right? Vezeshem Ramiz Mashkidahu Gavra Bashavin Le Gudu Mani Be Maya. That's what it means. No, says Rabbi Bahu. They're gonna take you, turn you into a device with which to draw water. You've got it wrong, mate. You're a means, not an end. That's a very, I think, quite an impressive reading, and it's a glut reading. It works very well in this dialogue between Sos and Rebbe Abahu. So on that basis, he goes to his father, he then goes back and tries to understand the rest of the sugya. Lefi Darchoi, according to this, my father's understanding, Yesh Lefarish Kol HaMasav HaMotam, Masha bein aminim uvein hamin revavoa derech. So you can understand the whole sugya, the first part, the dialogue between the two minim, and the discussion between Rabbi Bohu and Sosim at the end. So now he goes, and this is something, which is a machlok, is actually, if you look in some of the Reforshim, the Rishonim, when you find poetic passages, even in Tanakh, whether you need to actually make a distinction between what we call in English synonyms, or whether they are, there's a degree of poetic difference with Ibn Ezra and the Radak, sometimes are more willing to say that there are kind of Sosin and Simcha may be the same idea, but people like Rashi and certainly the later Reforshim never tolerate this type of reading. And if one verse says Sosin, another says Simcha, that's because they mean different things. And the later certain stream of thinking is always to adopt the latter perspective. And therefore, to distinguish, when we've said Simcha la Arsecho, the Sosin la Yirecho, there's a difference between Simcha and Sosin. And the Meforshei Tefillah say that. Look in the Malbim and other people who look at these sorts of ideas, they give a clear distinction. He does the same thing. What's the difference, Shemish Musa, between Simcha and Sosin? Let's start there, and then you can understand the Machlokes, because the purpose is to conceptualize, then understand the nature of the Machlokes, and then you can open up the sugya. So Simcha is Habola Odom Badorgo Vishav Adas. Simcha is something which develops. It's something which is a gradual process, a sense of well-being, a sense of comfort, a sense of kind of a wholeness, a holistic relationship with oneself and with God, but it happens gradually. For Sosin, what's Sosin? Yeah, Bob Pitson, it happens suddenly. It's a sudden experience. And any sophisticated individual can identify the difference between these. Their experience would grow gradually, a sense of well-being. Could be that after a good Yom Kippur, a person goes through a process, and at the end of the process, one's in a certain state of mind, but it's not the result of a sudden or momentary experience. It's the result of a process, which may have taken days or weeks or even years. But Sosin is something which happens suddenly. And he quotes a posuk, Sos onoichi al imrosech, a posuk I'm sure that you know, in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes. I have celebrated al imrosech over your words, kamoitzi sholol rob, like someone who's found a great treasure. So he points out, finding a metziah is sudden, and it's loshen sos. So you can see, that's his proof, that loshen sos, simcha and sosoi, is sudden. The type of experience I have over your words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the type of experience I have when I find a metziah. Find a metziah is a sudden experience. Just come across it. As he says, built his covenant, just with a lovit, there's no intention. You can't intend to find a metziah. That's impossible. So, he says, now the machlokes between Sosin and Simcha becomes a discussion of which of these is better. Which of these is better? It's no longer a simple explanation, oh, I've got a posit that puts my name first. No, but I've got a posit that puts my name first, which is sort of how we read it, and actually how the Orach HaNer reads it as well. But it's more about two concepts competing. Which type of, if you like, religious emotional condition is preferable, that achieved through a gradual process, or the one that arrives suddenly? He says, what actually happens is that the world of the philosophers, it's not clear who he's digging at here, you can make it say anyone, the philosophers say, they really reject the idea of the need for action. The world should exist, it should be just thought. Contemplative. The truth is, Lahavdil, the Rambam says something very similar, but the ideal world will be one in which one's religious life consists purely of a state of contemplation and communion with the divine. But the realities are that we live in a physical world, and if we don't do things, we don't achieve anything. But the philosophers reject that idea. He says that Tachlis hi rasha nefesh tikna midas tovas, the purpose really is that the soul should become improved, that one should acquire good traits. But good traits of the philosophers means good way, positive ways of thinking. Now we put a lot of premium in that as well, but we think they can be achieved only through mitzvahs maisis. They have to be achieved through action. And these minim, they also have this view. They're not interested in even a discussion about what you should do, how you should do it. They're discussing which state of mind is preferable. Within the context of the rejection of physical activities as a means of avodah, there's a machlokes going on, says the Shemish, between Simcha and Sosin. Behem b'neim cholkus rak matzo yoseh. And there's a machlokus between them, which is better. Im simcha bo ba'dog of yishavadas. Is it better that something has been gradually achieved? Something has been over a long period, has been more and more, and has reached that state? Or is it something which happens instantly, momentarily? And he explains the difference, because of course this is a machlokes, certainly in these ideas, in something which is relevant to us, even though we of course reject this approach in general. They're called minim, after all, by the Gemara, people who reject the fundamental principles of normal Jewish life. But the machlokes here is something which is profound and relevant to a normal life, which is that momentary experiences are more powerful, but they're less sustainable. That's what this is about. Simcha is, it's a more moderate experience. It's something that doesn't have those instant highs, that spike of passion, but it's also sustainable, as he puts it. Here, I'll just find the phrase he uses, but it will if I can't find it, it will translate for you into English as easy come, easy go. He puts it, one night it arrives, the next day it's gone, which we translate into an English idiom as easy come, easy go. And he said, and that is a tension which is experienced in the intellectual world of any religious person. That you have that incredible high, and you feel this amazing sense of connection or relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's very, very difficult to sustain. The sustainable growth is not as exciting, it's not as passionate, but it's more sustainable. And he actually uses those words. Easy come, easy go, and sustainability. And in the intellectual world of those people who are considering the relative merits of different sorts of religious inspiration, they are worrying about this issue. And the Shem Yishmael has now recast this machlokes into something which is suddenly very relevant to any normal person. We've all gone through both processes, had these moments of inspiration, been frustrated that they're unsustainable, and sometimes gone through gradual processes where we can see sustainable change. But a frustrated is not more exciting. And that's the nature of religious life. How you would translate that into my example of Simcha la'aretzecha v'sosam la'irecha, I'll leave you to worry about for another yom ha'aretz. Right. So he said, that is the nature of the machlokes. U'be'inyan zeh yesh mochum divishnen. The truth is, there's space for both. The real life involves both. No one is going to be able to have a meaningful religious life unless they can actually have both. If you haven't got sustainability and moments of passion, it's not much of a spiritual life. One is very dull, and one is perhaps, you know, unexciting, and the other is passionate and unstable. And you need a combination of both, and you need both. And that is very much the methodology of the Shem Yishmael. So once he's thought the machlokes, you have to have harmonization. So what does he say? Let's see, we've only got 5 minutes, that's what he says. In the yesh mochon divishnen, the space for both of them. The be'emes the cholechon yesh mala masha emes. Well, also he explains the benefits of each of them, as I've already discussed. And he says, and therefore he said, both of them are brought. Simcha bo v'dreg yesh bo mala chizkan v'yosa aval en kol kach beregas chazok. So he's saying that what actually happens is that each gives the opportunity for the other. Soso, maybe that moment of passion, but that moment of passion might encourage you to engage in a process of sustainable growth. It's a bit like the Mukabolim talk about the kind of that moment of spiritual inspiration of the Seder night, and the next morning you wake up after having gone to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, have 4 cups of wine, feeling pretty rough, and you now got a 49-day journey to achieve something when you've seen a flash of what you can achieve. That's Lashon Dilug. And so on. And on the other hand, the sustainable growth might make you more sensitive to certain spiritual moments, such that you don't need such a massive experience for it to be meaningful and inspirational. We live in a world where experience has become more and more extreme. Once you've jumped out of an aeroplane a few times, then you've got to do it with your eyes shut, otherwise it's not exciting anymore, and so on and so forth. A person who can experience real, genuine spiritual growth, which is simcha, will be capable of experiencing soson without the extremes which characterise modern life. Which means, just, you know, he's writing 100 years ago, but, you know, this is certainly extremely relevant to outreach. Are we looking for sustainability? We can inspire people suddenly, but what do we do with them then? There are all kinds of questions that this raises about the playoff between sudden inspiration and sustainability. And he says they're both right, each lead to the other, and the machlokes, as he would always do, because that is his methodology, is to demonstrate that it's a matter of emphasis rather than one's right and one's wrong. But in the meantime, the point is, he said, that's an intellectual dispute which exists only in the mind of those people who don't believe in Nisus HaMaaseh. So the sugya starts as follows. Sosu and Simcha argue about this. They have this version, he has this conceptualized understanding of the Machlokis. We can turn that into a real and meaningful discussion. And after they're still arguing, they're still standing there arguing, the Rabbah comes along and says, listen, you've got the whole thing wrong. All these ideas, Simcha and Sosan, they're great ideas, they're very important. But they're only means, don't think they're the end, to be in those conditions. The purpose of that feeling of Simcha or Sosan is to now use it to relate to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a means, not an end. And he says, that's what he says, that way he puts it, is that Bor Rabbah Bor, he comes along as it were and bashes them on the head. Shalokein Adovah, that's not what he said. Kamoi Noi Dishobo Mayim, it's an instrument. All of this Simcha and Sosan, the goal of life is not to be happy. We hope, you know, Yismach Lein Mavashah Hashem, we hope if you do it right, you'll be happy. But the goal is not to be happy. Happy is a byproduct. The goal is to use that state of being in order to serve a Kodesh Baruch, where everything is an instrument to serve the Ravona Shalom. Which means not only is he given, I think, a very interesting explanation of the sugya, but he's also given a structured explanation. There's a machlokis, first of all. What's that about? It's within the context of their minus, of their rejection of the need for physical activity. And having, like, as it were, a bowl come in and says, hey guys, you've got the whole thing wrong. All of this, whatever you do with it, that might be an interesting disagreement. And he's certainly, the Sokhachov has conceptualised it in a way that's meaningful. But in the meantime, it's all a means anyway. And it's not an end. And as he says, that is really what... relevant for this time of the year. It's very much a Sukkot theme. The nature of Simcha, what is Simcha for? It's not just wild abandon, which we wouldn't call Simcha at all. We call that kind of foolish wildness. And he points out, Kamoshim Asayim Shalom Melech HaVosholom, as the Pasuk finishes at the end, through the penultimate Pasuk of Koheles, Es Elohim Yerov, Es Mitzvot Sof Shemar. The way you articulate that is by observing the mitzvot, Ki Zeh Kol Ha'odom. That is really the whole role of man. And with that, certainly, I mean, there may be other explanations, and I've seen other reasons for this sugya. In terms of turning it into something which speaks, which first of all actually gives a valid structured approach to sugya, but also speaks to our world, I think that the Sokhachov has done a very good job. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.